Answer me this. Are you a morning person? Maybe an afternoon person? Perhaps you're a night owl? Perhaps you feel like you never really get moving? Well, regardless of how you would classify yourself, you deserve to have a morning routine that serves you, that sets you up for success. Now, before you start rolling your eyes and go, oh, I've heard all about the morning routine stuff and all the things that we're all supposed to do and journal and meditate and yoga, and I just don't have time for that or I don't like it. Guess what? That is not what I'm going to tell you. Instead, I am thrilled to tell you about my annual free event coming up called Master Your Morning. And over the course of 5 days, 30 minutes or less each day, I'm going to teach you how to create your own unique morning routine based on two things, your unique personality type, and secondly, the realities of your home life, right? You may not have a lot of time for a morning routine. And that's what this free workshop is all about. So if you want to come join, head over to megansumrall.com/masteryourmorning. And I promise you, at the end of it, you are going to have a completely different relationship with the morning. Hey there. So today we're going to talk a little bit about understanding the difference of a planning or organizational technique versus having an actual system, and why techniques are great short-term wins, but they do not prevent overwhelm, whereas systems are what help us prevent overwhelm. So let's go ahead and jump in. Welcome to the Work-Life Harmony Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Sumrall. I'm the creator of the Top Program and Top Planner, teaching all things time management, organization, and productivity for women. I'm also a mom and wife, and just like you, I'm juggling hashtag all the things while running multiple businesses and a family. Guess what? You don't have to feel constantly overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out. There is another way. When you have the right systems and tools to plan and manage your time, you can live a life of harmony. This is your show to learn from me and other amazing women how to master your time, planning, and organization to skyrocket your productivity so you can have work-life harmony. If you're ready to stop feeling overwhelmed, this is the show for you. And if you're new here, I'd love to get you started with my work-life harmony assessment. All you have to do is DM me on Instagram at Megan Sumrall with the word harmony, and my team will send it right over. Hey there, welcome back to Work-Life Harmony. So, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about how to keep ourselves out of overwhelm, how to try and eliminate or at least lessen the amount of stress and anxiety through how we plan and manage our time, because there is so much coming at us all the time, right? That it is hard to not always feel like we're in a mild state of overwhelm. And so I talk about it generally a lot, but today I really want to talk about three specific, what I would call planning systems, three different systems or tools or processes that if you learn how to incorporate these three, they can have a tremendous impact on reducing or completely preventing overwhelm. All right. And the three things that we're going to be breaking down here today is one is this concept of a central list. The second one is how weekly and monthly planning reduces overwhelm. And then the third is what I call my pop-up task process. All right. So to kind of paint the picture of what I'm talking about is, you know, have you ever been in a situation where maybe you open up your linen closet or you open up that cabinet or the pantry or even your personal closet and you're like, okay, this is it. It is out of control. Like, I cannot handle this anymore. I've got to get this space organized. So you hop on the internet or you turn on HGTV and maybe you choose to follow the Marie Kondo process. And you're like, I'm going to Marie Kondo this baby. I'm going to get it looking beautiful. And you go through all the steps and you everything's refolded, put away nicely, maybe even labeled, and it's fantastic. But then, you know, time happens, right? And maybe six-ish months later, you're back opening that same closet door, that same pantry door, and it's a complete disaster again. I know for me, one area of my life that continues, I feel like I'm always redoing it, is like the dreaded Tupperware cabinet, right? Well, there's a reason why this happens to us. It's because so many of the, you know, organizational or, you know, planning types of techniques out there are simply that. They're often a one and done technique. What they're lacking is what is the ongoing repeatable system that keeps that space, that closet, that pantry, or in our case, your calendar, from getting back to a place of complete chaos again. So first, it's really important to understand if you see something, if you're watching a TV show and you're seeing how they're going through a process of, you know, Marie Kondoing a drawer or home editing your pantry, right? Is this a one and done technique? Or are you actually learning the repeatable systems to put into your life day after day, week after week, month after month, to prevent things, you know, from becoming a complete disaster? Now, I have, you know, hundreds of thousands of women inside of my top program community, and I always appreciate how honest everyone is with one another, especially when you are new to a lot of the systems that I teach. Is women will come in and say, you know, something happened. I kind of fell off the wagon. I stepped away from my weekly planning. And the last month, things have been in complete chaos. And so I'm coming back in and I'm getting back on top of the system. So that's what, you know, at its heart is so fundamentally different in how I approach talking about how we plan and manage. This is not a one and done. It's I'm also wanting to share with you the repeatable systems that we do on either a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or annual basis to keep ourselves out of overwhelm, to prevent us from having to constantly go back and reorganize the same thing over and over again. So, three continuous processes that all tie into planning that I use, that are the three that I believe 100% keep myself and so many of my students out of this constant low-level state of overwhelm. The first one, and I talk about this inside of my top framework, is having this centralized list or a central location where, as new things are coming at you, new tasks, new ideas, basically anything that you know, you might consider putting on a to-do list, whether it's for you know today or 3 months down the road, having one central place where we store all of the things that are competing for our time. Now, this sounds obvious, but I will tell you, 99% of the people that I meet when we dig into it realize they have at least five different places where they store this. So it can look like the notebook at your desk, the notepad in your car. Maybe you've got a notepad up by your nightstand. Maybe you have post-it notes in your kitchen. Maybe you've got something in your purse, right? So if we are perpetually jotting down all the things that are competing for our time in multiple locations, whether you realize it or not, your brain is now kind of feeling like it's got this responsibility to have to remember all of those. So that when you sit down to actually try and decide, okay, what is it that I'm doing today, tomorrow, this week, next month? If your brain is trying to remember where all of the different possibilities are stored, it creates a little bit of anxiety, right? Because we're worried that we're going to forget. And this is one of the fundamental things that you may not realize is causing some stress and anxiety is this perpetual fear of I'm forgetting something. Is this what I should be working on, right? Well, when we have one central place that we can look at that says, hey, you know, for me, Megan, here are all the things that are competing for your time, and we learn how to prioritize it, that eliminates the anxiety and stress around wondering if we're forgetting something. All right. So this is why centralizing that is so important. And it's why it helps quiet our fears, which fear leads to overwhelm. Now, the second kind of continuous process, and I've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to go into the nuts and bolts of it, but I want to talk about why it prevents overwhelm, is learning how to do weekly planning and then monthly planning, then quarterly, then annual. Those are the four levels of planning that I teach. Now, the reason why this, you know, starting with weekly planning reduces overwhelm is because it shifts you from a place of being reactive, where we start every day going, oh my gosh, what do I need to do today? to a place of being proactive, where instead we go to bed at night saying, I know what my plan is for tomorrow, and I know how to handle any curveballs that come my way. Because when you can crawl into bed and end your day every day feeling confident about you've got a plan in place, you know, you may need to change it, but you have a plan in place versus just collapsing into bed and then starting your day wondering, oh my gosh, what am I doing today? And then trying to, in the moment, figure it out. That really does amp up that a little bit of that fight or flight response syndrome, which leads us to make bad choices, which just leads again to more overwhelm. So this is why having repeatable systems and processes that you know how to execute really help. For me, anytime I come back from a trip, just last week, I was on a trip. Let's face it, anytime we're away and out of our normal sorts, when we come back home, it always feels like there's just a lot waiting for us, right? Well, because I have a process for what I do anytime I come home from a trip, I have a process to help me before I leave and a process for when I come back. It helps reduce that feeling of stress or overwhelm anytime I'm coming back home from having been away. So this is why having those planning processes can really, really help. Now, the third one, and I want to talk about this in a little bit more detail here today, that is really helpful is what I call my pop-up task process. And it kind of ties together the first one about that centralization, right? And the second one of our weekly planning processes. Because I get asked this question a lot. It's like, okay, great, Megan, I've made out my whole plan for the week. But then what happens all week long as new things pop up? Because there will be things that happen that, you know, a new thing that's going to come that requires some of my time that I didn't plan for that does indeed need to happen this week. And if you don't have a process in place for how to assess all the new stuff coming at you, and then how to either accommodate it in your current plan or get it onto that central list for future consideration, when too many things start coming at us, that causes us to feel stressed, anxiety, and overwhelm as well. So I'm going to share with you briefly kind of what my pop-up task process is. So you know that I, you know, start every week with a weekly plan in place. My weekly plan includes all my appointments and commitments for the week. And then it's also a draft of what days I'm going to be working on some of those smaller tasks and actually what time I think I'm going to be working on them. Well, over the course of the week, you know, emails come, phone calls come, life happens, and new things come at me that require my time. So these are what I call pop-up tasks. So anytime something new happens, and it usually every morning when I go in and process my email, there's at least a couple things that I know I can't handle it right in the moment. It's not a 30-second email response, but now maybe, you know, something is coming at me that I realize I need to figure out when I'm going to work on this. The very first question we have to ask ourselves is this a has to get done this week or not? Because, you know, the stress of things coming at us, whether you realize it or not, we often feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this done now. When if we take a step back, and what I do is I look at my plan for the week, I look at this new task, and I'm asking myself, is this important enough to fit into this week? And the first thing we look at is there an impending due date that if I miss this date, the opportunity is gone? And if the answer is yes, and then I decide it is important enough, then in that moment, I am actually adjusting my weekly plan to accommodate that pop-up task. So it might mean that I am moving something that I was planning on doing on Wednesday into some buffer time I built on Friday to accommodate this new task. You know, it can be handled a number of different ways. Now, oftentimes, even though my initial response is, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to get that done? When I really sit back and look at this task or opportunity and then look at my week, I can realize, you know what, it doesn't actually have to get done this week. There's no impending due date. And what I currently have planned for my time this week is more important than this new thing or new opportunity that just came up. In that case, that pop-up task then goes back to the first thing that we talked about, right? That central list of here are all of the things competing for my time. And by just having that small, simple process in place, knowing that as things come at me, I kind of almost like to think of it as like having the Wonder Woman with her bracelets on. I loved Linda Carter Wonder Woman, that it gives me that ability to kind of, you know, put my wrist bracelets up. And as something comes at me, I can, you know, hold it up and say, hang on, do I allow this into my plan for the week? And if so, I do it very thoughtfully and intentionally. And if not, then the other wrist comes up and it shoots that over to my central list so that it will be there for me when I sit down to do my next weekly planning session to figure out where it lies in the overall priorities. So you can see when we start to build different planning processes, and I've got, you know, three core pillars and then nine components. One of the nine components is planning processes, and it's plural because there are a number of little repeatable systems and processes like this, that when you master those and then you start to work all of them together, it allows us to really sit down and buckle up back in the driver's seat of our calendar, of our life, and of our time, instead of feeling like we're always in this perpetual state of, you know, in the moment decision making, reacting to what is coming at us. And when we live that way too long, it takes a long-term toll, bottom line, on our mental health, because we live in a state of feeling anxious and overwhelmed for too long. So I hope that today you will pick, you know, at least one of these three things, make a commitment to have that central place. Or if you've been resisting weekly planning, dip your toe in the water of that. And for those of you that are already doing weekly planning, this is your opportunity to say, wow, yeah, I really do need to revisit what my pop-up task process is. Because if you can just get these three things in place, I promise you, you will start to see that underlying level of overwhelm really start to go away. And more importantly, stay away. Because you notice none of these three things are techniques that are one and done, right? We're not just going to go in and pretty up the closet and then not put the systems in place to keep it that way. So I hope you have a wonderful week filled with peace, harmony, and as little overwhelm as possible. Getting on top of all things time management, organization, and productivity doesn't have to stop just because this episode is over. If you want one-tap access to all of my training and current top podcasts, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Pink Bee app. It's one word, the Pink Bee. It is jam-packed with simple yet powerful tips and strategies to get you out of overwhelm and into harmony. And if you have a question you want me to cover on a future episode, go to iTunes and ask your question in the podcast review section. And while you're there, don't forget to leave a 5-star review.